Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, that was week one. The question is, will the Patriots rebound in week two?
Now, did you spell week with two E's or an E and an A? Well,
what are you saying there?
It was a weak opening effort, and I think the quarterback agrees with me based on his comments post-game questioning the attitude and competitiveness of this football team.
Yeah, that's what stuck out to me. I mean, obviously, certainly not me, not you, and certainly not you, Freddie. No one expected that kind of a performance, that kind of a loss, any kind of a loss. But what really stuck out was Tom after the game talking about competitive level. You know, week one, we're talking about, is this team on board in the first week? So we'll see what happens on Sunday. But I thought that was what really stuck out to me post-game.
And it was funny because the game got out of hand late, right?
Well, I think he was talking about the fourth quarter.
Right, and he was. And it was, you know, Belichick and all the players really sort of reiterated it all week. 21 points, 200-plus yards in the fourth quarter. You can't fall apart like that, all of those things. But it wasn't like it was a four-quarter debacle.
No.
And listen, I know everyone has their opinion coming off that game going into New Orleans, but I'm not worried about the offense. They scored 27 points, and that was a bad game for them. They left. You saw the opportunities there. Just clean up the offense. Defense, a little bit different story for me, and that's where I want to see the improvement in week two.
And there's two levels of the defensive concerns, in my opinion. There's the cleanup part, which to me, Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, 75-yard touchdowns, that's cleanup. Those are Pro Bowl talents that I expect to be on the same page and get the job done. Then you get to the other questions up front, stopping the run and pressure on the quarterback. I don't know if that's cleanup or can you do it area.
Yeah, I will say, and we talked about this all week on our radio show, I do think they overthought this game, especially from the defensive side of the ball. I think they just... You know, Jordan Richards playing the big nickel and all. I just think they overthought this game. And let's just get back to basics on defense.
Yeah, I think there was an element of that, and we talked a little bit about the big plays that the Chiefs got, you know, one of which comes with a defensive end trying to chase a running back 50 yards downfield. That's part of, I think, the overthinking of it. And maybe that's a product of having Jordan Richards out of position, maybe at linebacker, and having to use a guy like Cassius Marsh, who here just for a couple of days, as much as he did when Hightower went down with the injury. So I agree with Andy. I think there are things that can be fixed, some tweaks that can be made, and I agree with you about the game plan and maybe some overthinking. But I wonder if they get back to the guys that we maybe figured would be in the lineup, how much better it will be in that front seven in particular. I think the secondary is going to be okay. But the front seven stopping the run, I'm not sure you just wave a magic wand and everything is fixed.
Well, I mean, David Harris, what's he on this team for except if not to stop the run? So if that's something that you want to improve on, I would suggest putting David Harris on the field.
Yeah, there's certainly questions about personnel and lineup, where you used those guys, Richards, Harris, Hightower. There's guys you can move around, but that's not what Brady was talking about.
No.
I mean, that's a different issue. So there's sort of multiple issues after 1 week of football that it feels like they're dealing with.
And I also think that stuff that Brady, you know, we're fixated on the fourth quarter, and I agree with both of you, it wasn't a total washout. They didn't finish the game properly, and I think when they fell behind, the ball got rolling, they did nothing to stop it. And that might be the competitiveness that he's talking about, but I also think there's an overlying theme to the whole offseason, and Bill keeps pounding on it. This team hasn't accomplished anything yet. And I wonder, maybe with the number of newcomers that they've had, if there are some of the players that maybe thought, well, I'm a Patriot now, and this is what we do. We show up and we win, but not necessarily doing the work it takes to get there. And I wonder if there was part of that was the message with Bill and Tom after the game.
And when you have that attitude, when things don't go right, like you said, they start to snowball. And I think you saw that in the fourth quarter.
A lot
quarter.
Of newcomers, and I don't know which ones are involved, but a lot of these newcomers come from teams that didn't win a lot.
Right.
We have a few Buffalo Bills. We have now a New York Jet and David Harris that you talked about. You know, some different programs that maybe aren't as used to winning on a regular basis, and then you all of a sudden come in, to your point, Freddie, oh, wait a minute, we're not winning in the fourth quarter? Well, I'm used to this.
They haven't won a lot.
This is what we do when we're losing in the fourth quarter. This is what we do. We lose.
They haven't won a lot, and yet they had Super Bowl patches on their
chest. I know, that really got under your skin,
man. I didn't care for it.
You don't like guys who didn't win a Super Bowl wearing that patch.
Right. If you watched the game like I did, you don't get to wear the patch.
Okay. So they're going into New Orleans. They're going up against
a patch.
They're going against a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they have to improve on defense. What does that add up to you for this week?
Well, you look at it, both teams have Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and both teams have defenses that didn't play very well on opening night.
Right.
Literally, the AFC player of the week played the Patriots defense, and the NFC player of the week played the Saints defense. Which team do you think will better bounce back on defense? For me, that's the Patriots. I look at this game, and sort of the key to the game to me is the Saints have a terrible defense from a year ago, last against the pass a year ago, that is adding rookies to that mix as sort of the solution. Didn't look like the solution on opening day. So I have more faith the Patriots defense will bounce back.
Okay, other than Tom Brady, who has to step up on offense and who has to step on defense for the Patriots?
Well, I look at it a little differently than Andy before I get on to that. I think that what is best, most likely to step up and rebound from the performance to me is the Patriots offense. I'm not that much more confident in the Patriots defense than I would be with the Saints, based on this year and based on the personnel.
I tend to agree.
But
I
am really confident that Tom Brady's not going to complete 44% of his passes again.
Yeah,
that's an unbelievable anomaly. That's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row. Absolutely.
Or is that life at 40?
No, I don't worry about your life at 40.
Instead of throwing it out there, what do you think?
No, I don't. I think that's going to bounce back. The guy, you know, you ask us pinpoint a couple guys at Gronk.
Rob Gronkowski.
Week one, Gronk got owned by Eric Berry and the scheme that the Chiefs threw at him. That's concerning to me because that's a guy coming off his third back surgery who wasn't part of the team down the stretch last year. And to just assume, oh, it'll be back. He's fine. He's Gronk. He was cleared in February. He's on the practice field. I need to see it. And the first time I saw it, a matchup he used to win against Eric Berry went heavily in Eric Berry's favor. So I would put Gronk in the spotlight.
I'll give you one sort of under-the-radar guy on defense, Alan Branch.
Yeah.
I think he is the key to that front seven, that run defense. I don't think he played very well against Kansas City. I saw him for 16 games last year play at a pretty high level. I think that's probably closer to what he is than what he was on Thursday night. So I think he'll bounce back.
Well, I think it's a bounce-back week in terms of the win column, but it's going to be a tight game.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. Entertainment your way.
This week's From the Heart, we're going to look at the Saints' horrific pass defense and the Patriots' transitioning passing offense. The slot receiver position is an issue in New England. We know that. Julian Edelman is gone and not forgotten. But there are options remaining. The passing backs are really good. James White, Deion Lewis, proven weapons. Use them underneath. They can do damage there. And Chris Hogan, better on the outside? Maybe, but he can be productive in the slot. Go to him with regularity underneath and over the middle. And the good news is, you're facing a terrible pass defense from the Saints. 32nd a year ago. So what do? Throw rookies at the problem. At least three of them in the back end. Good luck with that, Sean Payton. And good luck with Tom Brady finding new targets underneath.
It's still early in the season, but the Patriots are starting to have some injuries pile up, and they're piling up in one specific area. It hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but the punt return game has taken a hit. Three straight weeks, they've lost a quality candidate in that department. First it was Julian Edelman, then Cyrus Jones. Now it looks like Danny Amendola is going to be out on Sunday against the Saints. So where did the Patriots turn? Who is going to return punts? I know Patrick Chung is always an option. He finished the game against Kansas City, and I think he is a safe option. I think he'll make good decisions, and he'll catch the football, and ball security probably won't be an issue. But I think Bill Belichick can roll the dice here and go with Deion Lewis. I think he is much more electric than Chung or anybody else or any of the other options. And I'd like to see Lewis get the ball in his hands a little bit more often. He's been productive on kick returns. Give him a shot with punt returns.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
For this week's Trash Talk, we're going to talk about two offenses that we'll be playing on Sunday that like to change personnel as much as any in the game. Sean Payton, Josh McDaniels love to run guys on and off the field. Paul, Is that wise or is it overthinking?
I think it's smart, especially in this day and age. You have all the specialization on defense, a lot of sub packages. You got to try to find matchups that you can exploit. I think that's what these two coaches do better than anyone. I think that's why their offenses have been as good as anybody's in football over the last several years. I think you have to do that.
Silly, silly, silly response.
Yeah, why would I want to be productive?
I know. Are simple. Drew Brees and Tom Brady. They have the best quarterbacks in football. You're overthinking it. The best matchups are when you have your best players on the field. So I don't need to run guys on and off the field to get matchups. When I have Cooks, Gronkowski, White, guys like that on the field, those are the best matchups. Don't overthink it. Oh, we got to run this guy off and trick them into getting 12 men on the field or substituting. No. Play your best players and win. Yeah, Bill Belichick once said, if you have Reggie White, you play him, right?
Right.
And don't overthink it.
And Rob Gronkowski is Reggie White, and that's why he doesn't come off the field. He's not really a big part of all of that on and off personnel movement.
Off more than
but James
should.
White, sorry, James White is not Walter Payton. He can come off the field sometimes. Deion Lewis might be a better option. Rex Burkhead could be. Maybe I want to run the ball with Mike Gillisley. Those guys, to me, are interchangeable. I don't have to have one guy on the field all the time. Gronk?
Right.
Absolutely. Gronk stays on the field. Brandon Cooks, he stays on the field. The other guys right now, you got to find matchups. You got to find personnel groupings.
So you got to trick people. You don't think you can beat people with your best players.
Do you not feel like that's been a big part of what the Patriots have done over the last 15 to 20 years?
I don't think it needs to
be. They've done a lot of tricking people. And you know what else they've done a lot of? Winning football games.
You know why? We'll get back to where I started. 12. He's the best player in football. And guess who else is really good? A Hall of Famer, Drew Brees. That's why you're good. These coaches, these Mike Martz types, they think it's about them. They think it's about scheme and personnel grouping. I'm going 12. I'm going 22.
So
I'm doing all this.
So you think this is an ego thing?
I think some of it is too much thinking. It's validating their existence and their genius and their paychecks and their resumes and all of that.
Okay.
It's simple. Get your best players on the field, put them in good positions, and allow them to do what they do.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
Last week, I talked about a Houston Texan doing great things. This week, not so much. Brian Cushing got tagged with a 10-game suspension for being caught using performance-enhancing drugs for the second time. No one seemed surprised. We all saw how he treated his own teammates when the Texans were on Hard Knocks a couple years ago. Yeah, there was some roid rage on display. I've come a long way on PED's subject. I was one of the last holdouts believing Lance Armstrong was clean until he admitted he wasn't. Now, I've been conditioned to believe that pretty much all pro athletes do something to get an edge. What truly surprises me is how anyone in this day and age gets caught. You have to be really sloppy because it's not good business for sports leagues to be suspending athletes. They're not exactly running sting operations when it comes to rooting out PEDs. So word to pro athletes, PEDs, do them, don't do them, just be smart.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium locker room, Patriots running back Mike Gillisley. And I think the first question is a simple one, a game under your belt. Do you feel like a Patriot now? Are you settling in?
Yes, finally. You know, it was all exciting at first, but now I done got used to it. I done got the first game out of the way, so feeling pretty good.
As we look back at your performance in that game, I think there were probably some good things and some things you'd like to improve on, as Coach Belichick would say. Yeah. Found the end zone a few times, stopped a couple times in short yardage. What did you make of your performance?
I say it's average. It's a lot of things that I could have done better out there, but that's what practice for this week. I know those things that I had to work on, and I'm going to get better at them this week.
When you look at the situational running, and what I mean by that is goal line opportunities or short yardage versus first and 10,
right,
do you run differently? Do you have a different mentality in those situations?
I got a different demeanor when it's fourth and one or it's goal line. I know that I have to get that yard or I have to score at least. So that's my mindset. It's just I got to be faster and tougher.
And on the flip side of that, are there situations when, I mean, you led the NFL 5.7 yards per carry last year. Are there situations where you're thinking, I'm trying to hit one here, I'm trying to take it to the house?
Yeah, but most of those times in the game, I was in a situation like fourth and one and goal line. But pretty much that average from last year, that's out the window. But every time I get the ball, I try to take it to the house. So, yeah.
As you've turned the page from a disappointing loss in week one to the task at hand in week two, what has the work week been like? Has it been kind of tough around here? What's the mentality been?
It's been the same, but for me, it's just more like finishing and making sure I'm more conditioned and ready to go when my number's called.
Is there a difference when you prepare for a home game versus a road game in a dome, a place like the Saints, in terms of noise and things you need to prepare for?
Right. It's the Saints stadium. We're expecting it to be loud and a lot of people there. So, you know, the way that we're practicing it out there is what we're preparing and looking for at the game, you know, because we know it's going to be loud there.
Looking at the guys that have come from Buffalo to New England, how does that work? Is there like a direct flight? You know, we had Chris Hogan last year. We had you, Stephon Gilmore this year. What is it that draws you Bills to New England to become Patriots?
No clue, you know. But before the draft and everything, I thought I was going to get drafted here, no lie. But I ended up being here after all. And those players that played with me, the Bills, we landed to a good spot. We just got to finish this rest of the season.
As you begin to fit in with the running back room here, really talented group, clearly pretty versatile group, a lot of guys that can do a lot of things. What stands out to you about the running back room that you're in now?
We all competitive. We all like to compete. You know, we all bring something different to the table, whether that's coming out of the backfield in the passing game or protecting or just running for the short yardage.
So for those of us that play fantasy football, last week was a good week if you had Mike Gillisley in your backfield, a few touchdowns. Did you make a statement and say, in fantasy sports, I'm a starter, you better have me on your squad every week?
I wouldn't say that, but I would love for that to happen. But I'm just starting, just warming up, you know, just getting in my rhythm.
But you are on pace for 48 right. touchdowns, right?
I'm on pace for whatever it is. I'm looking forward to just continuing to do what I have to do to make this team win.
And he'll do that this week against the Saints.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, guys, it's that time of the show where we answer everyone's questions. Well, not everyone, but the people who sent them in.
The good ones.
Yeah.
And what the good half.
Well, that's debatable. We'll see. The first one comes from Raymond Boulay, and he says, I saw the interview where Rob Ninkovich said he wasn't closing the door to returning. What are the chances Belichick calls him and possibly Vince Wilfork to help repair the defensive front?
I think the chances are better for Ninkovich than Wilfork.
Is he? Hasn't he lost weight, though?
He's always been undersized.
Yeah.
The question would be motivation, sort of. He flip-flopped all offseason, right? He said he was coming back, he's ready. And then when he retired, he said he needed to be honest with his body and he just couldn't do it anymore. Now suddenly he can do it again after taking some time off. The need is there. And he clearly knows the system and he can probably give you some snaps. I just don't know that Bill's going to go knocking on that door.
I still have faith that Alan Branch is going to get back to where he was last year. You know, it's one game, folks. It's one game. Thomas Walkden writes in, and he's upset with the defense as well. He's very upset with Matt Patricia and three-man rush. He thinks they should go to a more traditional four-man rush. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't mind seeing them get a little bit more aggressive at times. You would think with the secondary, you know, being as strong as we think it's going to be, obviously it wasn't great in the opener. Nothing was great in the opener. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more diversity to the pass. I think they're going to have to do different things to generate rushes because I don't think they have a lot of guys that are going to just flat out win their one-on-one matchup. Trey Flowers is a guy who has shown the ability at times to be productive rushing the passer, but I'm not sure that he's – you know, one of these just gifted pass rushers. I think he's more of a technique guy. So, yeah, I mean, more than three guys, I don't think that's asking too much. I don't want to empty the sink, you know, blitzing all over the place. But yeah, you can send four and five on a regular basis.
Here's where I would say you're relaxed. It was one game, and I think there was a very specific game plan for this game with Richards and Hightower. Let's give them a little while to settle into what they are up front.
Okay. Shrikant writes in, I think the way the defense can improve is with a good leader. Usually that would be Jerod Mayo or Rob Ninkovich. But this year I expected Hightower to get that role. Who do you guys think will step up as the leader?
Well, I think Hightower is the leader. To me, there's no question about that. Now you can ask, he's banged up, he misses a few games. Who's the leader when he's not out there? And can a back-end guy be a leader? Because they have two captains that'll still be on the field. Daron Harmon is a captain, and Devin McCourty obviously is a captain. But are those natural leaders? I do actually agree with him. You usually think of sort of linebacker types as the leaders of the defense. That's why Hightower fits that. Is Kyle Van Noy, the green dot guy, just got a contract extension? Can he evolve into a leader as he gets more comfortable? I do think when Hightower's not on the field, there's a question there.
But I also think Hightower's been a captain and a leader, and I think McCourty's a good leader, too, in the back end. I understand Andy's point about linebacker play, but...
Linebackers rule.
Let's make it all three questions here. It's 1 week. I don't think they have a leadership problem right now.
Ooh, well, Brady does.
Speaking of leaders and speaking of Brady, Sally Young writes in, and she says, should I be worried about Tom Brady's comportment? I thought he was a little resigned at the end of the game.
Well, I think he was upset because I think he felt the team was resigned at the end. And I think I've seen him come back from, go right back to the Super Bowl. Impossible situations. He never thinks the game is over. I think he was a little frustrated that I felt like maybe I'm reading too much into this. He didn't think there were anybody with him. He didn't think there were enough guys ready to get in there and fight and come back from that deficit in the fourth quarter.
Well, was it his job to get them with
him? I think he did the best he could. But, again, we're making these blanket assumptions, but observations off of for the entire season. This is still a team that I came into the season with anyway thinking could go undefeated. I think they were that talented.
They can't anymore.
They can't anymore. I know that some Patriots fans don't think that. They still hold out hope. I don't. This is still a very good football team. Relax.
All right. Every week, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.